I'm going to be sharing with you today from Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, we're not in a series. Usually we teach in a series, sermon series, and so we're going to do a series on Jonah coming up here. But I'm outside of the series, but I'm going to share with you from Matthew 25. That is one of the Gospels written by Matthew. It's not a story about Matthew. It's a story about Jesus that Matthew writes from his perspective. So the Gospels are really narratives about Jesus from different perspectives. And the writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all had different perspectives because they had different audiences. And they saw things at different times when they wrote this. But so we're going to pick up in verse 35. And let me just give you a little context here is Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God. He used this terminology a lot in the book of Matthew, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And what he's teaching here is about when we think of the kingdom of heaven, we think of like the someday, the not yet, the eternity. And what Jesus is really teaching the people is that your not yet is affected by your now. Everybody say not yet. Everybody say now. The way that we're going to live and experience the not yet is really based on how we live the now. So this is what Jesus is teaching. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about what's going to happen in heaven in Matthew 25, 35. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." So he's talking about this judgment time and he's speaking about righteous. He says that the righteous will answer him and they'll say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them. And he said, "Truly I say to you, as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brother, you did it to me." You did it to me. He goes on there and he says, there's going to be others where he says, "You didn't feed me, you didn't give me to drink, you didn't take care of me, you didn't visit me, you weren't there." And they're like, "When did we not do that?" He says, "If you didn't do that, you didn't do it for me." And we even see this principle in the Old Testament. So this wasn't a new principle when Jesus shared it in Proverbs 19:17. He says, "If you help the poor, you're lending to the Lord." Everybody say, lending to the Lord. So really there's this connection of like, whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me. Whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me. With that in mind, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to hear your word, to share your word, to do your word. May it come alive to us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen. Well, some of you may be aware that our church went on its first missions trip this past week. Yeah, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Our very first will not be our last. I got back at midnight last night to my house and woke up at 4, ready to go and share with you guys. So the filter might not be calibrated today, but we had a full week. Some of our team actually didn't make it back till 2:30 in the morning because they missed a connection. And so we had a great time. We were in the Dominican Republic with our partner, Children's Cup, and now we're going to have some pictures up there. I'm going to kind of be like an old-fashioned missionary, just some pictures that we took of some kids, and man, it was just, we had a great week of ministering to children there, and you can see some of our team and just hanging out with the kids. And so what they do at these care points, they have 8 in the Dominican Republic around the city of Santo Domingo, and they're ministering to kids. This right picture right here with the blue shirts, this is from Renacer, which is the care point that our church is partnering with. And here's what you need to know about that. It's really cool. There's a real cool thing about that care point. It's a newer care point. It's in partnership with the local church. And the pastor of the church is in the Dominican Air Force. And right down the street, so there's an Air Force base, an Army base, and a Navy base. So you could probably say they're in Military City, Dominican Republic. And here we are in Military City, USA, partnering. And that's just by, I would say by accident, but like I don't think it was by accident that God partnered us with them. And so we got to go see the feeding program that they do every day in 8 care points around the city. They're feeding the kids lunch. Some are in partnership with schools because they don't kick God out of the schools. Because when God is all you have, God is all you need. And that's all they got. And so even in the public schools, they're like, okay, you want to come and bring Jesus to the, all right, we don't have nothing. Jesus is welcome here. And so the one care point that we were at most of the time, which was in, I'm gonna butcher it up. I pretended like I didn't know any Spanish the whole week. It was great. But I'm like, I live in San Antonio, so I understand some. But La Barqueta was where we were at, but Renacer, which means to be born again, that's where our care point is. And but they had a soccer game, but the kids in our church, if you remember back in March, they did something called Missions Madness, and they raised money for this soccer game, this event, this sporting event. And what happened is the Renacer kids, they brought in another care point, they bust them in, which is like they never did, like they were superstars getting bussed into the stadium to play soccer, and we were helping. And that is at Renacer right there. That's like the little play area. And I'm going to talk about that a little later. We were practicing soccer with them, and they really loved Antonio. Those two girls were fighting over him the whole time. So Olinda better watch out. We got to go into multiple homes and pray with the families. And I'm going to tell you a story about that in just a minute. But this is I believe that's in Catalina. That's another one of their care points. It's more out in the country area where we got to go out there and meet the pastor there. And again, you see constantly they were hugging us. Antonio was the coach of the blue team. And one of our other leaders was the coach of the yellow team. And then I'm going to talk about this guy. Hey. Keep that one up there. So this is Tony. Tony was our guide the whole time. He's a student. He works for Children's Cup. So when we give to Children's Cup as a church, we help Tony make life change happen in the 8 care points. And he likes to, he can speak English, so he hosts. But here's the cool thing. He met Pastor Aaron last summer. And he's like, your pastor is the best. And I'm like, we know, we agree with you. So he watches online, not live, but he watches the playback later because he's in church. He runs the production at his church, helps his pastor at the church he's a part of. So we're gonna do something fun today. He can't see all you guys, but here's what I want you to do. I'm gonna count down. I'm gonna go 3, 2, 1, and we're gonna say, hola, Tony. Real loud, because he's going to be watching. Are you guys ready? Y'all got that? I know some of you don't speak English, or it's going to sound real bad, but that's okay. You can say, hola, Tony. You can do it, all right? 3, 2, 1. I bet he heard that. Well, thank you for joining us. So we have people watching online, joining us from all over the world, really. We do. And so he's going to have some of his team be a part of that. You know, when we're in the Dominican Republic and when we read those words of Jesus, it makes us grapple with this question. What is poverty? What does that word mean? Now, if we had to define it, most people, if we just kind of like aggregated the definitions, we'd probably say something like, it means not having enough money. It's like, okay, poverty means like they don't have enough money to meet their needs. Like, that's how we would define that. But what truly is poverty? Because you could have a picture of what poverty means. And let me tell you, you can go to the Dominican Republic and you could have another definition. And you can go to a country over their neighboring country, Haiti, and you can have another definition. And it depends on where in the city you go and where in the world you go that you can have a different definition. I grew up thinking I was poor. And compared to the other people, my friends, that was true. So if it's not having enough, what level, how do we define, and we even have like in America, like below the poverty level. Like we have like definitions of like, well, if you're under this amount of household, this and this and that, that's at the poverty level. But what truly is poverty? Let me define it for you. Number one, before we get started in today, poverty is a mindset, not an account balance. Poverty is a mindset, it's a way of thinking, not just an account balance. Because we do have to change the way we think. Because a scarcity mindset is always like, I don't have enough. Poverty could look like this, I don't have enough. Poverty could look like this, I don't do enough. Poverty could look like this, it could be like, I can never be enough. For some of us, that's our poverty thinking. In America, poverty could look like this. I could never get enough. You see how that's not an account balance? I see people who are rich, but they have such a poverty mentality. It could be like, I can never experience enough. I have a poverty mentality when it comes to experiences. And with the poverty comes this, feelings of shame, worthlessness, fear, humiliation. When I had to wear Payless shoes and everybody else had Nikes. But one thing I noticed about the Dominican, every kid had on Nikes or Crocs. And I'd never seen so many fake Jordans in my life. I'm like, they don't make that color. That logo, like, why is Michael upside down? What is going on there? Why does he have three arms? And we were in a home. I think we have like a picture of like what a home would look like here. Not that. Oh, that'll work. That'll work. This is a home visit. This actually was a lady from Haiti. And again, you want to talk about like different standards, like in the Dominican Republic, they don't like Haitians, right? Because they're like, they're poor people. And so this woman won't even, wait, we don't know what her name is. Like we have sort of a name for her, but like she changes it because she's trying to get the right immigration status to be there. And we would go to these homes and we would pray for them. And there was another home and we didn't take a picture because this lady, they didn't want to take a picture with us. We go to these homes are basically, this one isn't indicative of most of the homes. They were like bricks, cinder block brick homes with just a tin roof on it. You can see the kind of tin roof on it. And you could see daylight everywhere, right? You're inside. But we go to this one home and we would pray for them and we'd give them a Bible and a Spanish devotional. That's what we went to all the homes. We blessed them and we prayed for them. Hey, what can we pray for you? And it was just great. All of our team members prayed. Some of them who had never prayed out loud over other people. Because I said, I'm not praying. They're like, but you're the professional prayer. And I said, I'm not going to pray. I'll pray for our food every day, and you're going to pray for people. And I said, I don't want to. I said, well, you need to ask God if he will tell you to. And I was so proud of our team, and they did that. But we went to this one house, and we prayed over them, and they asked us to pray for their family, and we prayed for specific things, their kids, and their son was disabled. Physically disabled, like in America, he would have gotten help, but there's no help. And we're done praying, and they said, we want to bless you now. I'm sorry. They said, we want to bless you now. They said that in Spanish. I don't know what that was, but our interpreter told us. They said, we want to share our grape soda with you. And our team's like, with us? No, we came to share with you. And they got out like 15 cups and poured us a little grape soda. little Dominican grape soda, and we all partook of it. And I was so proud of our team because nobody said no. And at times when we get pride and we have a poverty mentality, we're like, I don't want anyone else to help me. Right? Because a poverty mentality, we think a poverty mentality is, oh, I'm always trying to get help. But you know, a poverty mentality could be like, oh, nobody, I don't need no help. I talk to people all the time, like, I don't want nobody to help me. That's a poverty mentality. Because what's that attached to? Shame, scarcity. Oh, if you do me a favor, now I owe you. Poverty mentality. You think it's not, but it is. Because then you think you are your source. You are the source. We told our team, we are not these people's source. Jesus is. And I said, if we refuse this grape soda, we are refusing them an opportunity to allow God to use them to bless us. That was the best grape soda ever. And I hadn't had like sugar, like a soda for almost two years. But I'm like, I'm not, my vow to not drink soda don't mean anything when someone who only has soda says, we want to bless you with this grape soda. And it was such a great, we're all poor in some area of life. And our job as the church, the universal church, the body of Christ, is to help you be rich in that area. So poverty is a mindset, not an account balance. Number two, brokenness is the root. Everybody say, brokenness is the root. Where does poverty come from? Let's rewind back to the Garden of Eden, the first sin. Now remember that what happened there when the sin happened is that mankind now has a broken relationship with God, who is the source of all. He's the giver of life. He's the giver of all things. He is the source. And now sin causes a broken relationship with God. What also happened there is there was a broken relationship with others. What did Adam and Eve do? Hey, it's their fault. There's even in that first marriage, there's brokenness that enters in. Brokenness. And then really what that causes now, it creates a brokenness in self. Your self-identity is now broken. We go back to the garden. Remember, this is a place where there's no lack. It's all that you could want. Nothing is lacking. You're walking in perfect relationship with God. You can see yourself in the right way. Adam and Eve saw themselves in each other in the right manner. But when sin entered in, brokenness entered in. That's the root of poverty. Eden was heaven on earth. Heaven is not just a someday, it's a place today. It is God's perfect presence. That's what Eden was. And so the fall caused brokenness. And when Jesus returned, his mission, he told us in Matthew 6:10, he said, he's praying this prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer. Again, the book of Matthew. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That was the mission of Jesus, to bring heaven to earth. But we deal with a broken earth. When we were at the Renaisseur Care Point, the church rents a building and the church there partners with Children's Cup to have this care point. And it's fairly new. And these kids, and I showed you a bit of the yard later, but I have a picture that I took from the yard. And I don't know if you can see what this is. On one part of the yard, there's barbed wire and rusty tin. At the back of the yard, there's like a 20-foot wall with razor wire at the top. Welcome. I mean, you know, people talk about our church. Man, you guys are so intentional. It has a great welcoming environment. Can you imagine going to a church and there's razor wire and barbed wire, rusty tin? This is where the kids play every day. And I found broken glass all over the yard. And I was like, you know, at first I got like a little indignant and American. And I'm like, why don't any of these people care about these kids? Why don't they pick up the broken glass? Why is there trash everywhere? Why do they pour the motor oil right in the gutter on the side of the road? Don't they care? Why is all this stuff broken? Why don't they fix this? Then I remembered, like, I'm a guest here. It's not my job to be here judging them and telling them and trying to fix them. It's the mistake a lot of us make. And I just heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit say, it's like, you're surrounded by brokenness. This is the root of the problem. They have so much brokenness, they just normalize barbed wire and rusty tin. They just normalize broken glass. And in our lives, we can fall into that same trap where we just stop seeing the brokenness around us because we are so broken, we normalize broken. And when I picked up this glass, I cried and I said, thank you, Lord, for choosing me to help people find healing from brokenness. Thank you for the mission of the church. Thank you for allowing me, Jesus, to partner with you to heal brokenness, not just in Santo Domingo, but right here in San Antonio. So if we're called to bring heaven to earth, how do we bring heaven to earth? How do we bring heaven to earth? How are we called to bring heaven to earth as believers? If that's what we're called to do, number one, we serve others. We serve others. We can't save everyone, but we can serve everyone. People kind of like, there's this movement against mission trips today because they're like, you guys just went over there and fed those kids and prayed for them. Somebody else could do that. Don't. You should just donate all the money and just don't go over there. And just, I'm like, there were so many God moments where we got to serve them that it changed. Everybody who went on the trip just had a moment where not only were we blessed, but they were blessed. Jesus is the answer. We're just the servant. We're not the answer. We're the servant. We are there bringing heaven to earth because we're serving others. And Jesus talked about this in the book of Mark, Mark 10. So we turn over to Mark 10. He says here in verse 42 to 45, he says, Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it will not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. You want to be great in my kingdom? Serve others. And whoever would be first among you must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be serve, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many. And we just have some great pictures I know of like serving others. And we just had moments where Adela, she was great with this young lady talking for hours. And Adrian just serving. These were the little girls of the lady I showed you earlier. And just the kids sitting there, sitting with them, eating with them, blessing them, playing with them, and just serving them and loving them. And we have opportunities to serve every week at our church. That's why we do our Next Steps class, which you can get to be a part of. You can come, and if you want to scan that, we're actually having that in a couple weeks here, next week it actually is. I don't even know what day it is anymore. I've been in the Dominican Republic for a week, so I'm like, what day is it? What country do I live in? You can sign up for Steps. That's how you can find out more about our church and get involved with serving others here in our church. So number one, serve others. Number two, relate to others. One of the things as we go and we serve other people, we don't need to just serve them and look at them as a need. We need to see the person, not just the need. Because back in Genesis, we are told that God created man in his image. Mankind was created in God's image. Therefore, all people are image bearers of God. These are people, not projects. We had to see them as real people. The people that we serve, the way that we bring heaven to earth is to look at these people as not problems, but they're people. We have to genuinely care and love people. I saw a great quote as I was preparing for this, and this person said this: we've divided the world into those who need help and those who offer help. The truth is, we are both. We are both, if we're truly honest with ourselves. We need to relate to others. What I love is we had a moment. There's a young man who came. I believe we have a picture of this guy right here. This is Richard. And he's 8 years old. And this kid will either be El Presidente of the Dominican Republic or running the whole Children's Cup someday. He was quite a character. And he if you notice, his head is bald there. Well, one of our team members, Phil, I think Phil's coming next service, is bald. And first of all, when the kids met him, I guess they never saw a bald white guy. So they were asking if he had cancer. Because to them, the only person who shaved their head is they have cancer. And so we were playing soccer out there, and we were calling Phil Felipe at the care point. And so whenever we were playing volleyball or whatever, I would yell out, Felipe, real loud. So like everybody thought Felipe was like the star. So this kid went home that night and shaved his head so he could be like Felipe. And he was a character. He kept asking me how much my watch was. And like, could he buy it? And did I have any money? And they told us, you know, we don't want to give him money. And this just complicates things. But he just wanted to be like Phil. Can we relate to others? We serve others. We relate to others. And lastly, we want to give a hand up. Give a hand up. We're not just giving handouts to people. Because that, remember, if poverty is a mentality, which it is, money won't solve the issue. Here's how I know that to be true. My uncle actually has built multiple dozens of homes for lottery winners. And guess what happens to them? They get poor again. They're poor in relationships. They waste the money. We see it in sports all the time. Somebody gets a bunch of money, and then they just blow it, and you're like, man, you made millions of dollars. What happened? They could not get past the mentality. To the world, I love this quote, you may just be one person, but to one person, you may be the world. One of the other programs that they do at the care point that we were at most of the time, La Baquita, is they had mechanics. These young men with the black shirts on, you see them there? This gentleman with the red hat and his wife there on the end, they kind of bring these boys into this mechanic shop and they teach them this skill. Like, some of them are very, very young, you can see. And they teach them the skill, and so we bought them one of our team members bought them these like little scanner things. We bought them the headlamps so they could, while we were there, like even praying for them, and they prayed for us. Like, this is gonna help these young men. Because they said the reason they do this, we talked to the couple, why do you do this? They said, well, because if we don't reach these boys and give them something, the gangs will take them. Because that's the, like, they can make money in the gangs, selling the drugs and doing those things. Like, so we're gonna keep them off the street. And these guys were powerful believers in Jesus. They were giving not just a handout, they were giving a hand up. So that's just a little bit from our trip, and I wanted to take that moment to share that with you. We had such a great time. We have thousands of pictures and videos, and hopefully I'll get to share more of that with you. But I just wanted to share a little bit today about just that, why we do what we do. Why are we called to bring heaven to earth? And we're going to go on a trip next year. We actually already have, we're going to be on NISD spring break next year. So we'll get those exact dates. But if you're at all interested and going to the Dominican Republic with us next year. We're going to go to some of the same places. We're going to check out the same kids. Our goal, this year we brought 11 people. They said, you guys could bring 20 people. We'll just have to split up into groups. And so if you, let's the other one. No, we don't want the serve one. We want the DR25. There, that's the right one. So you can actually text if that's interesting at all. You're not signing up to go if you text this. It's just saying, put me on the interest list. I might be interested in that. You can literally get out your phone, punch in the number 210-756-4100, text DR25 to that number, and that will actually put you on the interest list. We'll send you the information when that time comes on how you can get signed up. Maybe if that's not you, maybe that's scary to you to go to another country. You can serve. We do multiple things throughout the year. The other day, someone said to me, "Is like, why don't we serve our community more than just Serve Day?" Because they knew we did Serve Day, which is the big thing where we shut down church and we go and we serve our community. We did this past year. They're like, we should do that all the time. We do. You should pay attention to announcements. You should check out our website. That should be probably bookmarked on your phone. You check out a lot of other things on there. But we try to have monthly things where we're actually serving our community. And you can actually get on a list for that. That's that other. You can text serve to that same number. And that will put you in a group where they'll send all those things to you. And you can get in on those opportunities where we go and we serve the homeless and other things that we do around that help around our city. You can text serve to 210-756-4100. And you could be a part of bringing heaven to earth in San Antonio. You might not be able to go to Santo Domingo. Maybe you can't afford that trip. But you can serve right here. You can serve our community right here. And we have great opportunities to do that. Well, I want to close out today. I want to pray for you. So if you would bow your head and close your eyes. Maybe there's somebody here today that you don't know Jesus, that you haven't had a relationship with him, that you haven't made him the Lord of your life, you haven't surrendered to him. I want to give you that opportunity to today. Maybe, like that yard that the kids were playing in, you just feel like it's just all broken glass. It's all rusty tin, razor wire and barbed wire, and you just can't even care about the brokenness anymore. I want you to know that he sees you. He sees you. He sees you. And just as I walked around the yard picking up the pieces of broken glass, like God wants to come into your life and pick up those broken pieces. And it starts with surrender to him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you and you want to surrender to Jesus today, you want to take that opportunity to say, Jesus, I know my sin has caused brokenness, but you deal with it. Would you just raise your hand? I'm gonna pray with you. I'm not gonna make you come up to the front if you don't want to. Just raise your hand if that's you, even online. You could just raise your hand right in the living room watching. To anybody here, you would just raise your hand and just say, I wanna invite Jesus into my life. Well, we're gonna pray for those, and would you all repeat this after me? Say, Jesus, thank you for dealing with my sin, with my brokenness, the pieces that don't fit. Thank you for dealing with my sin on the cross, dying to make me right with God the Father, restoring that which was lost. Thank you for heaven on earth. I believe in you. I'll follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.